Genesis chapter 19. It feels warm in here to me. It feels like the heaters are... And it's blowing heat or whatever. I don't know why. Maybe it'll cool down in a minute here. And so... Genesis chapter 19. Talking about foundations. And we started with several different things. And we've done love. And we did grace. Recently, and several things, and now we're going to do the foundation of mercy. And this has gotten a hold of me. I've been studying this, and I kind of changed what I was doing on Sunday morning because of this lesson. And the foundation of mercy. I want to talk about maybe kind of where it was mentioned first. Well, and I have got a ton of verses. The mercy of God. It's one of the things that makes you fall in love with the Lord and really makes you give glory to Him and really appreciate the Lord is when you understand mercy. And mercy is like grace. A lot of people know the word. They sing Amazing Grace. They didn't understand what grace is. Anybody remember what grace is? Anybody? Raise your hand. Remember what grace is? Jess?
Favor.
All right. And having favor with God. God looking favorably towards you. And so mercy is something, one of these spiritual words we use. We'll get the verse in a sec. But mercy is not getting what we deserve. It's what the best way to understand it. It's not getting what you deserve. That's mercy. I'm sorry, when it's a negative thing. Not getting the bad that you deserve. That's mercy. God has mercy on us. The technical definition... That's the definition, kind of looking at the whole Bible and kind of understanding the whole story. The technical definition of the word, the word is kemla. The word means commiseration, which is another word you need to define. Which level do they define a word at the word you need to find? Commiseration is a great word to understand it, or merciful or pity. Pity. Commiseration, it's co means with, and miseration. Commiseration, commiseration. And it means to feel or express compassion or sympathy. Let me illustrate. Commiseration, joining someone, understanding their misery, and helping them because of that. I see a guy laying in a gutter, messed up life. He smells. He looks terrible. He's made some bad choices. And I go down and say, but for the grace of God, that could be me. And I go down and I grab his hand and say, let me take you for a bite to eat and tell me your story. Now, has he done wrong and deserve what he got? Yes. Probably so. However, mercy says, and there's justice. I understand justice. God's a God of justice, okay? And there is a justice. But mercy says, you know what? Boy, you gotta be cold, you must be hungry, you probably feel alone and dejected. Man, that must hurt. I am going to have mercy on you. Okay, that's what mercy is. Mercy is not giving someone that they deserve, but helping them. And that's what God's mercy is. Now, the first mention of it in the Bible is Genesis 19, and a great example of it. Lot, story of Lot. Lot goes and Lot... First, we had a sermon on this. Some of you probably remember that. Lot, first of all, chose the well-watered plains of Sodom. Then he ended up being in Sodom. Then his family intermarries with Sodom, and he's sitting at the gate of Sodom. And then angels said, come and leave this town. The wickedness of the city was terrible, and God's going to destroy it. And Lot can't get his family to leave. His daughters are intermarried. They're laughing at him. They're all mocking him. And Lot will not leave. And... And God's going to destroy the city. He said, get out. And in Genesis 19:16, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. You see how God is merciful to him? He said, Lot, you're not going to leave. I'm going to drag you out of town because I don't want you to be destroyed. Now, you made a bunch of bad choices. Now, he's a good guy. He's called just Lot in the New Testament, but he made some choices that weren't the best, and now he's not obeying and leaving. And God said, let me help you here. Lot, I'm going to have mercy on you. I'm going to take you out of town. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll talk about the foundation of mercy. And Lord, your word's so good, and you are so good. We want to understand your goodness. We want to praise you a little bit and love you some more, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, I'm totally incapable of explaining the mercy of God. And Lord, I just understand the tip of the iceberg. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to enter into a sacred doctrine and understand the whole balance and truth of this. I pray that you would give us help, Lord, and give us wisdom in this and help us to see this and to see your way. In Jesus' name, amen. God has a perfect balance of mercy. And I think you'll need the whole length of this entire sermon to get it. And there's a balance of mercy. God's mercy is amazing. We are supposed to be merciful also. Let me take you to Lamentations 3. And over the years, I've tried to get more and more of a balance of mercy and justice. Lamentations chapter 3. These are great verses about this, about God's mercy. Now, let me encourage you to be balanced in this. It's not the sermon, but I just want to make sure you do this. God is a just God. It talks a lot about that. That's why that's why Jesus was on the cross. If God was only merciful and not just, he could have just let the sins go away. But he was a just God, and the Lord always rewards according to what we do. And so because of his justice, he had to pour out his wrath on sin. The wages of sin is death. It had to happen. So he said, okay, I'll take the death because I have grace and mercy toward you. But many times God says, you know what? I am in justice going to let the bad thing happen to you. For example, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. That's justice. Okay? In those verses, God said, in this case, mercy is not good. Do you follow that? He said, if you won't work, if a man in particular won't work, he shouldn't eat. Don't give him any mercy. Let him get hungry. Why? Because once he gets hungry, he'll work. Hunger is a great motivator. And so that's what the Bible says. And so as a church, we love to help people. We love to feed people, do a lot of stuff. But if I find a man with both arms and both legs and head still on his shoulders, and he's choosing not to work, then we'll say, man, why don't you send the kids over? We'll feed them. And we'll do that. We'll feed the kids because we don't want the kids to suffer for the foolishness of the dad. Unless in a very, very, very rare case, and don't do this unless you really know what you're doing, in a very rare case, they need to see their kids hungry. And I think the kids will get fed eventually, then we might do something there. Never done it, but I know cases I would. I know people who I would do that with. But the mercy, but then you get people who are justice only with no mercy, and they'll let everybody suffer. And they will not take compassion on anybody. Here's a girl who got pregnant and with very foolishly with a very bad guy who's not going to do anything for her. And they'll say, hey, it's your fault. She had known he could have got pregnant doing that stuff. Tough it out. See ya. No. Yes, she did foolish. Yes. However, mercy also says, you know what? You need some help. Let me help you out. And understanding those balances now, mercy. Now, here's the thing. The just person, people are very good people. They are people who live right because they believe if I do wrong, I should suffer for it. And they do right and they live that way. Just people are usually high character, high discipline, good moral people. merciful people, which is a wonderful characteristic, are often enablers. Because they can't say no, they can't let people suffer, they have such compassion. And by the way, they're also usually messes in their own life because they make their decisions emotionally. And when you make emotional decisions, you make foolish decisions. You bring people into your home you shouldn't, you pay people's bills, you shouldn't get the bills paid, you decide if you're going to go to work by emotions and stuff like that. And so there is a balance here of justice and mercy. And so you have that balance there. God is perfectly balanced in this. And those who want mercy and those who need mercy, who do the right steps, have a God with unbelievable mercy for them. And you know what? I thank God because I need mercy from God. I just do. There's just, I don't pray for God to give me justice. I pray for God to give me mercy. I'm so unworthy. God has been so merciful to me. I would never be, I'd be a little burnt piece of carbon if God didn't give mercy to me. Look at Lamentations 3. Beautiful verses here. Verse 21, when I recall this to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Love that. Love that. It's of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. God has mercies. I want to say this. All people start. Robbie, can you prop that door open? It is hot in here. There's a over here is a door proper opener. What do you call those things? Doorstop. There we go. I only know the technical term. Psalm 145. Everybody, I want to say every one of us starts with mercy. God gives mercy to everybody in the world. Verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. It's that the Lord's mercies were not consumed. The Lord is good to all, his tender mercies over all his works. See, God is so just and this world is so sinful that it's got by God's mercy. I'll be honest with you, to tell you the truth, and it's just maybe God is a little bit of a slow mover. I'm surprised America has not been judged yet. God's merciful to America. It's an accountable nation. It's more accountable than these countries that are in the middle of nowhere who didn't have the truth. America's had Bibles since the first European landed his foot on the land. They had a Bible. And it was the very center of everything this nation did. They've had truth and the word of God and clear gospel this entire history of this nation. God's been good to this nation. And it's amazing that God, with this nation, with its accountability that it has, that it's departing now from the faith. And Christians in America are starting to. Do you know that World Vision now hires homosexuals and allows that? Christians are now stopped taking their stand now. Not this church, but it is. And by the way, we have mercy for homosexuals, but there's a repentance issue there. They need to be saved. They need to trust Christ. They need to repent and come to Christ. And that's what all of us have to do, and them included. And so God's not judge his nation because he's merciful. All of us start with mercy. There's enough mercy in God to save all of us. God comes to every human being and says, I'm going to have mercy on you. The worst human who's ever lived, God had mercy and let them have a chance to be saved, died for them, loved them. God has mercy to start off with everybody. And so we see that. And God starts with that. Mercy is sprinkled all throughout the entire Bible. Let me go to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Wouldn't do bad to let them know about that and call them and say, I won't donate to you guys anymore. You're a Christian organization. Just let them know that. And it's the president. There's a lot of good people in there who don't agree with that. And hopefully a lot of them will leave the company unless they change it. We cannot give into the pressures of the world. Exodus 15, verse 13. Mercy all throughout the Bible. We saw a lot. Now we're going to see here about Israel. Verse 13. Thou in mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them with the strength in thy holy habitation. It was mercy that led Israel out of Egypt. Let me take you to Luke chapter 18. Just showing you this mercy thing, this opportunity that God gives us. Luke 18. This mercy is all throughout the Bible. It's a huge part of the Lord. And once we understand that the Lord is just merciful to us. It is of his mercies we're not consumed. And I want to say this. Mercy, not only when you understand it makes you love the Lord more, but it does that. But one of the things it does is it makes you much, it changes your prayer life. It makes you much more secure in Christ. And we'll get to that in this morning's message a little bit. Luke 18. Here's a couple sinful people, but they came to God two different ways. Verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. One person said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He understood his condition. The best Christians that I ever meet, wherever it is, are these humble people who think that I can't believe that God loves me and puts up with me and God's so good to me, and they accept the mercy and enjoy being forgiven and saved. Now, both those parts are important. Understanding who you are and also understanding how powerful mercy is. If you don't get it, if all you do is say, I'm so wicked, I can't believe God loves me, you're all messed up. You're all messed up. Once you understand God is merciful to you and you accept that, you feel accepted in the beloved, as Ephesians says, and you feel secure and you fall so in love with God because you understand the amount of mercy it took to be upon you. Mercy is, our nation is a merciful nation in general. And when you travel a lot, you understand. Usually you think humanity thinks like you think. Humanity doesn't necessarily think like you think, but your culture thinks like you think, especially now that, we're more molded. It used to be different parts of the nation thought much differently just because of there wasn't television. And your little group, your little area, your little subgroup of wherever you live thought a certain way. But Americans in general, for example, Americans love the underdog. Have you heard that? Americans love the underdog. Root for the. If we're watching a basketball game and there's a bunch of little guys who aren't very good and they're playing the number one team in the nation, a bunch of big, super strapping good guys, we root for the underdog to win. Do you know a lot of the world doesn't? A lot of the world glories in power and stomping on people. That's why you ever follow. In a lot of parts of the world, a lot of parts, especially Middle East, parts of Africa, they like dictators. You give them democracy and things turn into chaos. They kind of live through their dictators. And look how powerful a dictator is. Look how rich he is. You know, why did they let that guy have all the money while they're all starving? Because somehow they don't like the underdog. They like to be powerful. They like somebody powerful. And they live through them somehow. And they don't think like us. Many parts of the world, in America, a terrible athlete, a terrible actor, a terrible famous person, a politician, they can do something terrible. Look at Bill Clinton. Cheats on his wife in the Oval Office. Lies about it. Under oath. And apologizes. And people love him. We are a very merciful nation. Okay? I say people. Majority. He has majority popularity. Why? Because we're very merciful. If somebody does something bad, they apologize. And we have that. And that's a good thing we have that mercy. It's a good thing we know how to let people put things behind them. That's a good thing. We get that because we've been trained into us as a Christian nation. That mercy is good. Try that in Afghanistan. Try that in Libya. Okay? See what happens if you do that in Somalia. Try doing that in Saudi Arabia. Don't get the haircut of the leader of North Korea right now, and you're dead. Okay? He requires you to have every male to have his haircut. And it's a bad haircut. It's the worst part of all that. You understand we are blessed because we understand mercy a little bit. Most of you, if I said to some of you, I did this week, I'm leaving town. I have somebody who's somebody who came to me and they got issues. And I said, you know what? You need help right now. And so I called somebody from church and said, hey, I need to grab someone, take them under your arm and work with them for a while. Why? And our people are willing to do that because our people understand being merciful to people. They understand people messed up, people dropped the ball, and people need mercy. People don't need judged. And that's the true meaning of judged, by the way. It's not saying something's right or wrong. Mercy, having mercy on people versus just condemning them. We understand that and helping people. And that's why people come to our church like that. Because we're a church. I'm a pastor who needed mercy from God, and we are people who need mercy from God, and we just decide to pass that on. Hopefully we can do that a better job. Verse 36, and try to be perfect at this. Luke 18 and verse 36, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him, saying that Jesus, the blind man, seeing that Jesus of Nazareth passed by, and crying, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And when they went before and rebuked him, that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, what are you having to do? He said, I want to receive my sight. Receive thy sight, he says, receive thy sight, thy faith hath made thee whole. What was this guy crying? What was this blind man crying? Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Now, we don't know, Doug, we don't know enough about this blind man. That could mean two things. It could have been, number one, I'm blind because I know why. And I want you to have mercy on me and take away my blindness. Or it could mean, Jesus, understand how hard it is to be blind. And have mercy on me. Either way, when he's asking for healing from blindness, he's doing it by asking for mercy. And can understand this. One thing we have to understand is anything God does good for us is through mercy. Don't ever come to the Lord and say, God, you ought to do this for me. I deserve this. Don't do that. If you do that, you generally have forgotten a whole bunch of things about yourself. Now, I will say, there is this, and boy, I'm going to get off track here. There's a little bit in the Bible where Jacob or somebody else would say, Lord, remember, I've done this for you. Now, those people come and say, Lord, I thank you for being so merciful to me. Thank you for being so patient with me. Now, Lord, I have fasted for all these years about this certain thing, Lord. Please hear my prayer and answer, Lord. You know I have spent hours fasting. That's okay. You understand who you are. You understand it's only by God's mercy you can come to him and bring those things to him. But in general, you come to God and say, Lord, you know, I don't deserve anything to ask for. But I just ask you to be merciful and bless anyway. And do that. And he will be, because everybody who comes to God comes with mercy. It's all throughout the Bible. This is a big thing in the Bible. And just some things. First of all, I want to say the Lord's mercy is great. Let's go to Romans, since we're in the New Testament. I'm going to go out of order of my notes here a little bit, because the rest of it will be mostly in Psalms. Romans 11. His mercy is great. And so the big point here is his mercy is great. Underneath this, is I'm going to describe it with several points. And so, first of all, the point is, he wants to have mercy upon everybody. His mercy is so great, he wants to have it upon everybody. Romans 11 and verse 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Romans 11, 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. That verse, if you stop and read that for a sec, is a fascinating verse. God made sure everybody, God concluded every human being under sin. Every human's a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why did he bring everybody to guilt? So he could have mercy upon everybody. There's a lot to think about there. He wanted everybody lost so he could save everybody. He wanted everybody to realize their condition. And so God's mercy extends to everybody. He has mercy to the worst humans that have ever lived. He had mercy for them. Now, that's a good God. Doesn't mean that God doesn't want them punished for their iniquities. Doesn't mean that, but he had mercy to save them. He had enough mercy to die for them. God loves everybody. For God so loved the world. His mercy is so great. Let's turn to Psalm 86. How we doing, WeWake? We're a little groggy because it got so hot in here. Have mercy upon me, God. Keep them awake. And we get sleepy when we get warm in America. Psalm 86. The Lord's mercy is great. It is, he wants to have it upon all. Next, it's plenteous. Psalm 86 and verse 5. For thou, O Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy. In mercy to all them that call upon thee. Plenteous. I'm sure glad God has plenty of mercy for me. One of the things that I always, and I'm in mission mode now. I'm getting in mission mode. I'm starting to switch over to that. And so, one of the things that always amazes me, well, you know, it's true. It's also true in the South. People who are hospitable, or people from overseas in hospitable countries, you ever seen how much food they give you? I'm trying to think how many people from other countries we have here. How many, let's see. I'm trying to think how much the heaping plates, the Nepalese. When I'd go over there and eat at Delmaya's house, she'd come and heap this plate and rice, just rice. And can I tell you, if you ever want to go to the third world, love rice. Because they eat rice everywhere. And you know, I thank God, rice is such good food. It is so good for you. You can do anything to it. And I'd go over there and she would just heap a giant plate of heaping rice, then throw a bunch of meat on it. I'd tell her, I just had prayer breakfast. And I'd say, no, just a little bit. No, and they can't. They're plenteous in their food. They're generous. Do Samoans do that? They heap up the plates? I noticed they're very hospitable people. And in the Philippines, and then they start, and the worst thing is they keep filling your plate. And I'm weird. I always clean my plate. But I can't do that overseas because they fill it back up. I mean, no matter how much food is on my plate, I always finish it. It's just what I do. I don't know why I do that. But I always finish my plate. But overseas, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna not quite finish because as soon as I finish, it's like they're hovering. There goes more food. And I'm going, I gotta finish this. Plop. And pretty soon I'm like, can I waddle out of your house? Plenteous in food is great. It's nice you have more than enough. Isn't it good that God is plenteous in mercy? He's got plenty of it. And I think I try him sometimes on that. And Psalm 103, he's plenteous in mercy. He's got lots of it. Psalm 103. And I have lots of those sermons where I talk about don't push it. God will judge you. You'll have bad things happen. But I thank God. And we're gonna get, and that's why you have to hear the second half of this message, which will be this morning, to get it. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Plenteous. His mercy is great, isn't it? He's plenteous in mercy. Next, his mercy is everlasting. Psalm 103, since we're here, his mercy is everlasting. Psalm 103. And verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. His mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Let me take you to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. I remember for a while I had a promise to God that I would memorize two verses every day. And I took that into Bible college. And after a while, I realized I can't do this anymore and just too busy to do it. But I started doing it at the start. And I said, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I've got to keep memorizing my two verses a day. And so I memorized, and so I went and I said, I got to keep doing this for a while, but I need a break. I am buried right now. So I got to memorize some easy verses. And so I did with Psalm 136. You'll see why. Psalm 136, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule the day," that was an easy one, "for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule the night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt and their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever." Yes, all 26 verses. I memorized those verses because I just had to get the last phrase, and I got half it memorized of every verse. And so I did that for a little while and memorized this chapter. You know, every single verse, and by the way, this chapter says it every single verse, but it's all over the Bible. He likes that phrase, "his mercy endureth forever." Look that up somehow on a computer, you'll find out it's all over the Bible. Why? His mercy endures forever. Man, can you imagine if God remembered in heaven all of a sudden what we did? All of a sudden heaven is depopulated. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy, his salvation. Oh, it's so powerful. And it's so underestimated. It's everlasting. And thank God for his mercy. Next, he is rich in his mercy. He is rich in his mercy. Ephesians. It's called rich. He's called rich in mercy. Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 4. I shouldn't have had you get out of Psalm. We'll be back there. Ephesians 2, 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." Ephesians 2, 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy." Rich in mercy. He's got plenty. He's rich in it. How many of you would say, you know what? I've needed God's mercy more times than I can count. How many of you just know you just need mercy all the time? All the time. Isn't God merciful? Now, listen. If you are a merciful person, and you say, I can have mercy on people who messed up, who have problems, who are hurting. I can go down and emphasize with them and try to help them. People who've messed up, how about your children who aren't perfect? And you had mercy on them. If you can have enough mercy, why wouldn't you think that God, who is rich in mercy, can have enough mercy towards you? You know what's strange? And boy, I don't want to get too far ahead. But the very same person who is not merciful to other people, those people usually struggle with feeling like God's forgiven them and is associated. And we'll teach you why later. The things, when people know we're down at our church and help people who have needs and things like that. How many times somebody visits our church and I just tell by the way they come into church and the way they sit and the way they react and things that they've got some wounds. And how many times I went and visited them that week and talked to them. I remember just sitting down with a guy one time and he says, you know, I'm saved, I'm a Christian. And he says, you know, I don't really know if you want me to your church. And I said, what's the deal? I said, listen, you're not going to shock me. And he says, well, I'm homosexual. I have AIDS. And he says, I've been wicked. And just to watch how they begin to weep and have tears in their eyes when they realize that, you know, we're all sinners saved by grace. And murderers, we've had them in here. And we've had all kinds of things. And I'm not saying we put them in leadership positions. I'm not saying there's occasionally somebody who's had some issues that because of who they are, I'll tell them, you can come, but I'm going to tell a couple people and they're going to watch you. And I'll make some rules with them. And we do those things. We're wise about it. And they come and go. And some of those, you know, as a matter of fact, murderer and that particular person, they're not in the area anymore. And that's fine. You know, if you don't want to be a friend of sinners, God's not going to like hanging around you. If you can't be merciful to people who've messed up and have done bad things, then you probably forgot who you are. Because don't think you got the little white sins and the homosexual who's got AIDS is got black sins. And yes, there are, don't think, the Bible says if you've offended in one, you offended at all. I understand the Bible teaches that, but the Bible says there's abominations that are more wicked. The Bible teaches that. I understand there are certain sins that are worse. About God kills people for certain sins. But you'd be surprised what those list is. It's not what you think. Taking God's glory very quickly gets people killed in the Bible. And I've done that. And by the way, God says a lying tongue is an abomination to God, just like homosexuality. And God thinks certain things are pretty bad that we don't necessarily think are so bad. And so understand that we've got to extend mercy to people. And I'm not saying mercy is foolish. Mercy is not foolish. Mercy doesn't say, oh, we've killed 10 people. Hey, you don't have a place to live? Come live with me. Mercy doesn't do that. That's foolishness. But mercy, it says, you know what? If you want mercy and you want somebody to care about you and be your friend, I can have mercy on you. And I'm not above you. We're all sinners saved by grace. And have that. God is rich in mercy. God's sinless, and he has mercy on the worst of sinners, including murderers like David and adulterers. God has mercy on them. Do not think this message says that sin's okay and God's not going to judge sin. Yeah. To whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But actually, God is letting you go and get AIDS is merciful, because you should just go straight to hell and be consumed. And my sin should have sent me to hell and got me consumed. And that Jesus died on the cross means God's merciful, because he loves us sinners and he loves all of us. His mercy saves us. Since we're in the New Testament, we'll go to Titus. And again, I'm having to choose between verses here. He's rich in mercy. His mercy saves us. Ooh, we're short on time. Titus 3. This is a well-known verse. Verse 5, this shows us by grace, not by works. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to Titus 3, 5, but according to his mercy, he saved us. According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. All right, let's go back to Psalm. And we're going to go to Psalm 40. His mercy is great. He wants to give it to everybody. It's plenteous. It's everlasting. He's rich in grace. His mercy saves us. Next, his mercy is tender. This is a very common phrase. Psalm chapter 40 and verse 11. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. That is, and then Psalm 69, tender mercies, it says. Psalm 69. I mean, right till you get to the last verse, then I turn to the next one. Psalm 69 and verse 16. Psalm 69 and verse 16. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Tender mercies. We'll do one more. Psalm 103. Tender. Isn't that a beautiful phrase? Tender mercies. Psalm 103 and verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And you'll find that tender mercies is super common in the Bible. You also find that oftentimes it comes with the word loving kindness. Loving kindness and tender mercies. Aren't those a beautiful couple phrases to go together? Loving kindness and tender mercies. His mercies are very tender, are very sweet. Next, it should be looked forward to. His mercies should be, you should be excited about them and look forward to them. Psalm 23 and verse 6, you probably don't need to turn there. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It should be looked forward to. You should be excited about the future, that God's going to be merciful to you no matter where you go, because he's a merciful God. And next, we should sing about God's mercies. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. That's a psalm. And I'll just read one of those psalms that talks about singing of mercy. Psalm 101. Sing about God's mercy. Psalm 101 and verse 1. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will sing of mercy. What a great thing to sing about. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Boy, you should sing about. We'll talk about something good to sing about. The mercies of God. The mercies of the Lord. They're so rich. They are so everlasting. They are so completely tender and abundant and plenteous. And God says, you know what, Lot, you're not going to leave town. I love you. I'm going to be merciful to you. You're going to be destroyed if you don't leave. Let me drag you out of town. Let me drag your daughter, your two daughters out of town. Let me drag your wife out of town. You know what? You're just not going to do it. I'm going to be merciful to you. I know you're. You know how many times in your life probably you'd have done the wrong thing or probably messed everything up, but God was just merciful and just said, let me. And you know how many times we deserve punishment that should have ruined the most important things of our life? It's at the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Thank God for mercy. Praise the Lord. What a good God we have. Amen. Isn't he good? Isn't it good that God has mercy? And isn't it good that God just says, you know, you knew the truth, you didn't do this, you made this mistake, and I was merciful to you. It is so good that God is so merciful. And I'm so glad God's not pouring his mercy on our nation like it deserves. I'm so glad God, my wife and I are talking, we have a missionary who's having some real trouble, and we'll tell you about it, about their baby and sickness. And they've been in and out of the hospital. Wife and I are talking this morning. We're saying, you know, that's got to be awful. Do you know, had any of us ever spent a night in the hospital? We have nine of us. None of us ever spent a night in the hospital. Isn't that amazing? And saying, boy, God said, you know, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve God. And nobody did anything wrong when somebody is in the hospital. It's just you're in a fallen world. We understand that. I would just, you know, God's been so good to me. And I can't say I've earned it all. Matter of fact, I've earned some different things. I've said before, if I were God, I would have already fried myself. I get mad enough myself. I don't want to have mercy on myself sometimes. You ever tell yourself, you dirty, rotten, what are you doing? You know, do you ever tell yourself that? You're all better than me, I guess. Two of you do. All right. You and I are these sinful creatures, and the rest of them, they don't need mercy. And so just don't say, God, I don't need mercy. Give me what I deserve in this room. Because we don't have insurance for lightning bolts and hitting through our building. So, but I know we all need it, and I am so glad, God. I'm glad God is a God of love. I'm glad God is a God of grace. Grace is pretty awesome, because mercy make us get what we deserve. Mercy just makes us not deserve hell, makes us not get consumed. Grace gives us great blessing and makes God bless us and want to be good to us and be close to us. But I'm sure glad I'm just glad he's a God of love and a God of grace. I'm glad he's a God of mercy. Because we'd never get to grace if it weren't for mercy. We'd never get to grace and all the goodness of God if it wasn't for mercy. And mercy is amazing. God's mercy is everlasting. Praise the Lord. And he emphasizes that to us. Revel in joy. Praise God for it. And don't be the foolish person who sits there and says, but I don't deserve it. I'm so bad. I shouldn't. God should have to be merciful to me. I'm so terrible. Enjoy it. If I pick up the homeless guy to the gutter and take him over and give him a meal, he shouldn't sit there and spend the whole time. I'm like me half. He spends the whole time saying, I don't deserve this meal. I did drugs and ruined my family. I've been drinking and I've been a binge and I've ruined my life and I ruined this and I left my job and my family's. Enjoy the meal and be thankful. We'll deal with the problems later. For just for a minute, say, boy, thank you. How about you do that? And quit being so self-focused and look up and focus on his mercy. And you'll be a lot happier. And you'll praise him and love him a lot more, our wonderful God. He's a good God. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. And while I'm praying, why don't you just thank God for how he's been merciful to you? Lord, we thank you for mercy, Lord. What a wonderful thing. And Lord, we can have mercy, but we do it imperfectly. Your mercy is far above ours. You know everything. Lord, we can have mercy on people, but we just kind of know a little bit of the story. And you give mercy unlimited to us. We praise you. We love you. You're a wonderful God, and we give you glory and praise and worship you as a God of mercy. Lord, you didn't have to be merciful to humankind. You didn't have to all of a sudden go and give Adam and Eve a coat of skins, and you didn't have to promise that the Messiah would come. You didn't have to be merciful to mankind, but you were. And we praise you for your mercy to us. Help us to love you so much more. Help us today to not just be happy because the sun's shining, but be happy because you've been merciful to us and your mercy is everlasting. And surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Thank you for that. We love you. We appreciate your mercy. We glorify you and praise you for your mercy. You're an amazing God. And thank you that your characteristic of mercy shines along with love and grace and power and justice. And we thank you for it. And we give you praise and glory. Thank you for being such a good God to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll see you back in about 8.